Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 16, and we have been talking about a lot of different things dealing with our Day of Atonement here. And we've talked about, do you remember, there had to be two goats that the people presented. Of those two goats, one was the Lord's goat, and one was the scapegoat. Now, one of your test questions is going to be, which of the two goats was killed? And do y'all remember which one? The Lord's goat, right? The Lord's goat was killed. But now, this scapegoat, if you'll remember, Aaron would lay his hands on the head of the scapegoat and would confess all the perversities, the rebellion, all of the sin of the nation of Israel. He would confess it over this live goat, and by doing so would transfer the sin of the nation onto that goat. And then that goat was to be carried away by a fit man, led away by a fit man into a place where he could not find his way back. And what we want to do this evening before we jump right in to our scriptures again is talk about how all this happened. They had to have faith, didn't they? They had to be operating with faith.
If you think about it, all the sacrifices all the way through that we're seeing, that where God gave the law, God gave the commandments, the protocol for each sacrifice. All this is done by faith. Now, what happened was the Jews reduced it to a works thing and just going through the motions, rather than seeing it as an act of faith. And it's just like with the Day of Atonement. They had to believe that their sins were covered for a year. But you can start out believing, and then you can get somewhat anesthetized to that, and it just becomes an assumption. Well, I brought this sacrifice, I did this, everything's okay. And it loses the faith effect, it loses the impact. Consequently, Israel, if you check their history through the Bible, you'll find that they would turn away from the Lord. They wouldn't follow the Lord. They'd get engrossed and intrigued with idols of other nations, worshiping other gods, because they've got their mind off of what God has said. Okay? Faith comes by hearing. It's hearing what God says. It's actually a fresh word to you. You're hearing the Lord. And so on the Day of Atonement, that was a reminder of a provision that God had made for the nation. Now, you and I know that you can't just talk to a goat and just convey the sin, naturally speaking. And so for him to confess the sins of the entire nation, the nation, he has to believe, and the nation has to believe as a whole, that because God has set this method up for them, that their sins are atoned. And so they can live in peace for another year, knowing that their sins have been taken care of by these goats. Forgiveness, removal. Now, we know that that was just a type pointing to what Jesus would do. But even though Jesus has redeemed humanity, unless faith is exercised, you don't benefit from the redemption. You with me? Just going through the motions is not going to get it. And I'll tell you something that concerns me, especially as a minister, is I see more mental ascension than I do faith. You hear it, so you just assume that, you know, if you jump through the right hoops, you're going to be all right. And nothing could be farther from the truth, because the scriptures plainly teach the just live by faith. It's a way of life. We live by faith. God wanted Israel to live by faith, not just works of the law. The works that they did were to be stimulated by faith. But it became a works mentality. And this thing is carried over into the New Testament, to where people have more of a works mentality. Do this, do this, do this. You know, I'll be good if I don't go here, I don't go there, I don't have this habit, I don't have that habit, then, you know, everything's going to be all right. I live a better life than I used to live. No, that's not going to get it. It has to be faith. I have to believe every day that my sins are remitted. Not covered up, but remitted. And they're not going to be brought back before me next year. Because the difference between Day of Atonement and redemption was Day of Atonement was annual. Redemption was eternal. Once and for all. And so any sin that I've committed or you've committed in the past, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who has cleansed you from all sin, all unrighteousness, forgiven you of the sin, and has removed that, Hebrews says our conscience have been purged. You Day of Atonement did not purge their conscience. It was an external thing. Redemption is an internal thing. And people are trying to still look at things externally rather than internally. And when you look at it externally, you're just going through the motions. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. But when you look at this from internally, you're seeing what Jesus did. And so the emphasis is not on what you do. The emphasis is on what Jesus did. And people have a problem with that. And they keep thinking about themselves rather than thinking about Jesus. And we're doing the best we know today in trying to get people to get your attention on Jesus. Don't think about yourself. Think about what Jesus Christ has done. And what he did was sufficient for everyone. You understand? Think of this. When was Jesus crucified? Before you were born? That's easy. I don't think anybody in here is that old. So the bottom line is, the sin problem was taken care of when Jesus died and rose again for our justification. And so before I was born, the penalty had already been paid for the sin. But in order to receive the benefit of that, I have to exercise faith and believe it. I have to believe that what Jesus did was enough. You know, growing up in church like I did in a very legalistic environment, it was works. You couldn't go here, you couldn't go there, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. And you know, as a teenager, I'd come to the conclusion if it was fun, it was sin. According to the standard of the church, I mean, we couldn't do anything. Even in the you know, up into my early teenage years, you couldn't play sports. That was a sin. Everything was a sin. You couldn't go to any kind of movie or show or you know, whatever. Jesus, if the rapture take place, he's not coming there. And so you're not going. I mean, that was hammered into you. And it's a legalistic mentality. And so you're not living by faith, you're living by fear. And I can tell you from personal experience, I lived my life in fear, thinking that God was going to get me. Because I was a rascal, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. You understand? And I'll tell you why. I followed my nature. My nature was sin, and you know what sinners do? They sin. Right? So they're trying to clean the outside, and the problem is inside. And so you live in fear. So every night, I pray you, God, don't kill me and send me to hell. I mean, I've actually cried and begged God. I didn't want to live right, but I didn't want to go to hell, you understand? And I just begged God because of wrong teaching, thinking God's mad at me. All of God's wrath for the sinner was poured on Jesus. You think about it. I don't know of any more horrible punishment and death that you could inflict on someone than what Jesus went through. I mean, that's a horrible way to die. It's humiliated. Not to mention the excruciating pain and all that went with that. That was for you. That was for me. Because he hadn't done anything wrong. We'll say that, but we have a hard time grasping that. He did it for me. And so he's my substitute. So that means I don't have to bear it. The penalty's paid. No condemnation. Because he took all that on him. And one of the most liberating days in my life was to learn that God loved me. He wasn't mad at me. And you know what? I'm not concerned about God being mad at me tomorrow. It's not based on my performance. It's based on Jesus Christ's performance. Now, that doesn't give you a license to sin. But if your heart's right with God, you're not looking to sin. As a matter of fact, the nature inside of you, that new nature, doesn't want to sin. And so what's the fear? And if I trip and fall, if I yield to a temptation, I know that I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Then all I have to do is just say, Lord, I missed it, and I'm sorry, and I just forgive me. And you know what? It's taken care of. That easy. It's taken care of. But when you're so prideful, that you won't admit it, then he can't do anything for you. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Sin has consequences, but it's not God being mad at you. You know, over the years, I've had people to ask me, you know, why God did this and God did that. And I said, the God I serve didn't do that. And if your God is killing you and beating you up and all that, you need to change your God. That's why he gave us the word to correct us. You understand? It's profitable for correction. Read it. It's in your Bible. And so I want people liberated to the point that they live by faith in Jesus. Jesus has done a work for me, and then you're so appreciative. I cannot convey to you how appreciative I am to Jesus for what he's done for me. Every night, I'm old enough now, I get up and go to the bathroom during the night, you understand? Every night when I get up and go to the bathroom, I'm going to tell Jesus I love him. And I'm going to thank him for loving me. I am confident that he loves me. You know, we learned that little song when we were kids, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, when are you going to start believing the Bible? That he loves me. And so if he loves me, he's not going to abuse me. But I have to believe it. Israel went through the things they went through because they refused to do things God's way. They would not live by faith. They wanted to be like other people. And God, you're talking about mercy. And this is under the old covenant. And you and I have a better covenant with better promises. But the mercy of God under the old covenant, he would send a prophet. He'd send another one. He'd send another one. He would send another one. Warning after warning after warning. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. But when they crossed that point of no return and just rejected the Lord, he said, all right, you've rejected me, I'll reject you. That's what you want. I'm going to give you what you want. You with me? The worst thing that can ever happen to you is God turn you over to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will make some stupid decisions that will cost you big time. You understand? That's what the first chapter of Romans is all about. It's not that God was beating them up. God said he turned them over to themselves. A reprobate mind. Now they can't even think righteously. So they can't live by faith. You follow me? And if you're going to be justified, you have to live by faith. Atonement was by faith. Redemption is by faith. You believe that Jesus bore your sin? Then why are you carrying it? If Jesus bore it, it's crazy for you to carry what he's already borne. And if he's already been punished for it, why would you think God's going to punish you? You can't punish different for the same crime when that crime is paid for. You can't charge somebody else with that same crime. Jesus took the penalty. He's paid the price. And God was satisfied with the price that he paid. You with me? And all that was before you were born. Now, what are we going to do with that? Well, I choose to believe it. You with me? I choose to believe that. And because I choose to believe that, then I start realizing the love of God. We're not talking about mushy affection and all this type stuff. I'm talking about the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish. But what if you don't? You pass judgment on yourself. God didn't do it. Those who don't believe in Jesus Christ are condemned already, is what He says. But what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then you pass from that condemnation. Now you're not guilty. And so when the thought comes, which Satan would bring at you, you'd say, you need to talk to my advocate. It's been taken care of. I'm clean. That's why Paul could say, I've wronged no man. I have a conscience void of offense before God and men. And Paul had done some horrible things. So, you understand? But it never bothered him after he had an encounter with Jesus. I personally believe that until you have an encounter with Jesus, that you're not going to be liberated. You're going to have to experience Jesus. It's not assenting to the fact of what He's done. It's realizing in your heart what He's done. The revelation. I used to think it was for others, but I don't think that way today. It's for me and millions and more. But it's for me. You understand? Not just exclusively, but thank God I'm included. And you have to get that. I'm going to tell you, this will liberate you when you realize that the Son set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you're free, then walk like you're free. Quit staying in prison. It's like unlocking the cell and saying, all right, you can go. As you're walking around in the cell block, won't walk out. I sure would like to be in freedom. And that's what people do. We're free. We're free in Jesus. Not free to sin. Free to live for Jesus. Isn't this making sense to you? Don't live in fear. If there's any thought in your mind that the Lord's mad at you, then get before the Lord until you're convinced He's not. Why would He be mad at me? That would be classified as wrath or anger, right? His wrath on the children of disobedience, not the children of obedience. Jesus bore the wrath. And those who obey Jesus, they're liberated from the wrath. That's why we don't have to fear what's coming, the judgments and wrath of God, that's on the unbeliever. Jesus has borne our judgment. Jesus has borne the wrath of God for us. You with me? Am I getting through? I told Heather before we started, I want to I just wanted to count down in this area that we have to live by faith. People, the faith message is so distorted that people don't understand living by faith is believing in what Jesus Christ has done for you so you don't have to bear the guilt, the condemnation, and work yourself silly trying to get the favor of God. People think faith is getting this and getting that and doing all these natural things. It's amazing how people view faith as something to get natural stuff. Houses, cars, and wealth, and all this other stuff. What are you going to do with it? I need to be about the Father's business, not mine. And so do you. And so if I'm living by faith, here's what I've learned. I have everything I need. My spirit is satisfied. And so I don't even talk to my flesh. I don't bait it saying what the flesh wants. Would you like this? Would you like that? Would you like to go here? Would you like to go there? You don't even think about it. Lord, how can I serve you better? How can I be more effective? You with me? Now we're talking living by faith. Not faith in what you can get. Faith in what has been done for you. Now what you want to give as a heart of love. He loved me. I want to reciprocate that love back to him. And I couldn't even love him if he hadn't first loved me. But then Romans 5:5, I think it is, says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Well, if you don't have the full Holy Spirit, you're not full of the Spirit of God, then the love of God's not there. Because that's how the love of God gets there in your heart, is through by the Holy Spirit. You understand that's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so, God loves me. I love God. So what am I worried about? What am I fearful of? That's a fact. It's a fact. God loves you is a fact. Believe the fact. It's not conditional. God's love is not conditional. God's not willing that any should perish. He'll let you. He won't override your will, but it's not your will for you to, it's not His will for you to perish. You with me? If we just get this revelation, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I have peace with God. If you have peace with God, you're not concerned about whether the Lord is upset with you. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, complete peace, whose mind is stayed on you." And so if you're not in peace, your mind's not on the Lord. And so what do? Get your mind on the Lord. And let the peace that passes all understanding put a guard over your heart and mind. If I sit around and thought about all the bad things I've done in my life, it'd wear me out. And scare me half to death. Or to death. But it's all taken care of. I like the song that says, He knew what I was when He made me. He knew the sinner I'd become. But He knew He had grace that could save me. So the Master's work of art has just begun. And He's still working on me. You haven't caught God by surprise. He had redemption in place before you were born. Do you believe it? Atonement had to be believed. It had to be acted upon. This is not an assumption. This is not a mental ascension. It's got to get out of the thinking into the fact of the heart. It's one thing to think something. It's another thing to know something. The spirit of man knows. And you can be confident in something you know. If I know something to be a fact, then you can't convince me that it's not true. Not you, not the devil, not anybody. God wants us to get to the point that we know the facts in our heart and we're established in it. And when anything comes up, what are we hearing? We're hearing the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, faith, sir. You with me? I've been praying many times. And all of a sudden, I hear God doesn't love you. Right in the middle of praying. And so I immediately say, Father, I thank You that You love me. I don't know why, but I thank You that You love me enough that Jesus would die for me. You know what you do? You keep the fact out there. You live by faith. And it's amazing how those thoughts will flee. You submit to God. You resist the devil, and the devil leaves. By faith. By faith. Day of Atonement was by faith. But it got reduced to works. Modern day church is reduced to works. Works is not going to get it. You try to do it by works, you're going to find yourself messing up all the time. And you're going to find yourself living in the condemnation, wishing and hoping. We need to be like Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. I mean, he was so confident that, you know, while I'm home in the body, I'm not in the presence of the Lord in heaven. But, man, when my spirit vacates this body to be absent from the body, I'll immediately be in the presence of the Lord. That's why we don't fear death. You've already died. When you were crucified with Jesus, but you rose again, a different life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation. Old things passed away. That old desire and that nature that led you to a wrong lifestyle, that's not there. That's been replaced by a life reunited with the Lord. You with me? So, and there's no condemnation in that. But you have to walk in the Spirit. You have to be listened to the inside, not to the outside. I hope we're getting through. I want you liberated. I want you to know that living by faith is really putting the emphasis on what Jesus Christ has done for you. Not what you can get materially, but what He's given you spiritually. You understand? And I guarantee you that what He's given you spiritually will suffice you in this physical life. You just tap into the resources. And we have unlimited resources. Yeah, it's so interesting to me, like when Jesus was, or Peter actually was confronted about Jesus paying taxes. Doesn't your master pay taxes? Give tribute. And when Jesus, when Peter goes into the house, then Jesus just confronts Peter. You know, who pays the taxes? The children, my paraphrase, the children of the king or just the other citizens? Well, just the other citizens. The children are free. Well, so we don't offend them, let's pay taxes. Go fishing. And the first fish that you bring up, take the coin out of his mouth. He didn't say go to the bank and get the money. He didn't say go to the treasury and get the money. What's he doing? He's living by faith. His resources. What does he do when he feeds the 5,000, when he feeds the 4,000? He's using available resources. He's not letting the massive crowd get him all in an uproar and shaking. You know, what am I going to do? 5 loaves and 2 fish and 5,000 people? Tell them all to sit down in companies. We're getting ready to feed a multitude. That's what he's thinking. How can he do that? He's living by faith. You understand? Not trying to accumulate to himself, but faith to minister to others in the name of the Lord, in the name of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we'll stop there. Time to take a break. And we'll pick back up in second session. All right?
Very good.
I didn't even let you talk.